1 Kings chapter 16. Sermon 1 by Paul Sejong. He has delivered us from the sin of Jeroboam and made us follow the gospel, not personal greed. 1 Kings chapter 16 verses 1 through 7. Then the word of the Lord came to Jehu, the son of Hanani, against Baasha, saying, "Inasmuch as I lifted you out of the dust, and made you ruler over my people Israel, and you have walked in the way of Jeroboam, and have made my people Israel sin, to provoke me to anger with their sins, surely I will take away the posterity of Baasha, and the posterity of his house, and I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat. The dogs shall eat whoever belongs to Baasha and dies in the city, and the birds of the air shall eat whoever dies in the fields." Now the rest of the acts of Baasha, what he did, and his might, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? So Baasha rested with his fathers and was buried in Tirzah. Then Elah his son reigned in his place. And also the word of the Lord came by the prophet Jehu the son of Hanani, against Baasha and his house, because of all the evil that he did in the sight of the Lord in provoking him to anger with the work of his hands, in being like the house of Jeroboam, and because he killed them. I preached on this word last time as well. Today I want to continue looking at 1 Kings chapter 16. Starting from verse 1, the successors of Jeroboam appear one after another. Jeroboam becomes king, then a man under him becomes king in turn. A son becomes king, and then a subordinate rises in rebellion and a soldier becomes king. In this way, treason repeats itself without ceasing. The background of Jeroboam's becoming king. Originally, Israel, south and north, is one people. They are one race, like us, but because King Solomon sinned greatly, God, urging repentance, divided the nation in two, and God set up for a time as king, not the tribe of Judah, which carries on the royal line of David, but a man called Jeroboam, so as to provoke the descendants of David to jealousy. The nation was divided in that way, and Jeroboam committed the sin God hates. The sin Jeroboam committed? What sin did he commit? As you know well, he built temples of his own in the regions of Dan and Bethel, made a golden calf for each of them, set them up, and served them as God. He also changed the day of sacrifice of the Day of Atonement, and set up ordinary people as priests in place of the sons of Levi whom God had established. If we put together the whole of what Jeroboam did, the heart of the sin he committed before God is this: he turned away from obeying God and following and serving him, and lived only for himself, for his own personal, selfish desire. This is Jeroboam's greatest sin. And the still greater sin added to it is that he made the people of Israel leave the Lord God and led them all to live for personal greed. A man who has become king of the nation of Israel ought to fear God and inquire of him, respect and follow the priests and the prophets, and lead the nation rightly. Israel of old lived for God, and fought its wars for the name of God, and so it received God's protection and blessing. But Jeroboam changed all of that for his personal greed. He cut himself off from God. As he committed the sin of rebelling like that, and the sin of serving idols, God cursed Jeroboam. The curse that came upon the house of Jeroboam, God said that if your descendants die in the house, the dogs will tear and eat them. And if they die in the open field, the birds will peck at their corpses and eat them, and that he would kill your whole house, leaving not one. So he cursed him. So we must think deeply here. One may fail to feel the seriousness of it, thinking, still, did he not serve the Lord God? He kept two temples, changed the date of the sacrifice, and replaced the sons of Levi. But in the end, did he not call on the name of the Lord and offer sacrifice according to that law of sacrifice? It went somewhat wrong, but what did he do that was so greatly wrong? But look at the words God spoke. He said he would wipe out the seed of Jeroboam and his descendants and would not leave a single one alive. Normally, when someone dies, the body is buried in the ground. But he said he would not allow even that and would curse them wretchedly, the dogs tearing and the birds pecking at them. That is how much God hates the sin Jeroboam commits. He said he is angered as with the wrath by which he prepared the unquenchable fire of hell for Satan the devil. Israel, where treason and annihilation repeat themselves. King Solomon died, and his son Rehoboam became king, and in the southern land of Judah, the royal line does not change. When a king dies, his son succeeds him. But in northern Israel, one king reigns for barely 7 days. A soldier under him would rise up and kill him with the sword. And the astonishing thing is that those who became king after Jeroboam, without exception, had their houses wretchedly annihilated. The prophet Jehu rebuked King Baasha. Inasmuch as I lifted you out of the dust and made you ruler over my people Israel, and you have walked in the way of Jeroboam and have made my people Israel sin, to provoke me to anger with their sins, surely I will take away the posterity of Baasha and the posterity of his house. And I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. The dog shall eat whoever belongs to Baasha and dies in the city, and the birds of the air shall eat whoever dies in the fields. 1 Kings chapter 16, verses 2 through 4. In this way he swept them away. Not one person of the house of Jeroboam survived. Man or woman, they were all put to death. After Jeroboam died, his son Nadab became king, and the people of that house also did not survive. Every one of them was put to death. Next, Baasha killed King Nadab and made himself king. But this man, too, commits exactly the same sin of Jeroboam. The sin of Jeroboam is living for one's own selfish desire. When Baasha became king, he struck the whole house of Jeroboam and killed all who had life, leaving not one alive. And yet he himself repeated the sin of Jeroboam. So the house of Baasha is annihilated as well. When we set these things side by side, what is wrong becomes plain. God has recorded this history in the Old Testament scriptures. This man became king, committed the sin of Jeroboam, and was annihilated. That man arose in revolt, became king, and was annihilated. And it goes on without ceasing. This is the history of the nation of Israel that comes down to the book of Malachi. We must draw the proper lesson from it. Even a person like us, who believes in the gospel of the water and the Spirit, and lives according to the will of God, commits the sin of Jeroboam if he lives only for his own selfish desire. And the person who leads others, 2, to live only for personal, selfish desire is making them fall into the sin of Jeroboam, the sin of serving personal greed as one's God. That is why we must not live that way. There is something we must realize here. Someone may say, just believe in God. Why make an issue of it? But the person who believes in God must not serve idols. What God hates most is having another God besides God, that is, serving idols. And what is the idol for us? It is precisely personal greed. We have been saved within Christ, and we live receiving the care of spirit and flesh within Christ. But if we serve personal greed as our God and chase after it, that is precisely committing the sin of Jeroboam. Look, Baasha became king and killed everything that had life in the house of Jeroboam, leaving none alive. And then what does he himself do? He commits exactly the same sin of Jeroboam. As long as the kings and people of Israel did not commit the sin of Jeroboam, they were blessed and lived well. But when they committed the sin of Jeroboam, they perished and died. Then what on earth is the sin of Jeroboam? It is serving and following personal greed. Originally, this nation is one. It is the same Israel, and the throne comes down along the line of David, just as faith is handed down through that line. God intended to divide the nation for a time as a chastening, but Jeroboam seized this as his opportunity. Since God had set him up as king, he ought to have served God well, offered sacrifice according to the law of God, obeyed the words of the priests and prophets God had established, ruled the nation rightly, and led the people to serve the Lord well. Then his kingship would have been maintained well, and the people would have been happy. But he tried to serve personal greed as his God, fearing that if the people went up to the temple in Jerusalem to worship and mingled with one another, he would lose his kingship. He built temples in the regions of Dan and Bethel, so that they could not go there, placed a golden calf in each and switched gods. He exchanged the Lord God for golden calves. The sin of exchanging God for material things. The golden calf means precisely material things. It means the material world of the flesh. Jeroboam exchanged the Lord God for that material world, and that became the sin of serving idols. The gold is God's, the silver is God's, and all things under heaven are God's. If we live following the will of God, God gives us everything. But Jeroboam instead chose gold over God, because he served gold as his God and kept God at a distance. God cursed him, and so Baasha also perished. Baasha died, and his son Elah became king. And Elah is killed by Zimri, the commander of half his chariots. After that, Omri becomes king. Omri buys the hill of Samaria for 2 talents of silver, builds a city there, builds a palace, and rules. It is the very Samaria we know well from the Samaritan woman of the New Testament era. And who comes through Omri? The king Ahab, we know so well, comes. What line of man is Ahab? He is a man who followed the line of the sin of Jeroboam. Ahab, an idolatry grown still deeper. Ahab regarded following the sin of Jeroboam as rather a trivial thing. Look from verse 28. So Omri rested with his fathers and was buried in Samaria. Then Ahab his son reigned in his place. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab the son of Omri became king over Israel. And Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years. Now Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord, more than all who were before him. And it came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took as wife Jezebel the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and he went and served Baal and worshipped him. Then he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. In his days, Hiel of Bethel built Jericho. He laid its foundation with Abiram, his firstborn. And with his youngest son Segub, he set up its gates, according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken through Joshua the son of Nun. 1 Kings chapter 16, verses 28 through 34. Omri's son Ahab became king, and he regarded God more lightly, and committed more sins than all the kings who had incurred God's hatred before him. Ahab took Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of Sidon, as his wife, and together with her he served and worshipped the Baal she had served. Now it was open. In the old days they at least called on the name of the Lord while keeping golden calves. But now they carved and set up the image of Baal and cried out, O Baal! O Baal! He also made a wooden image of Asherah. Asherah was called the goddess of fertility and was carved in the form of a woman, and they believed that if you prayed before it, you would gain many children. Baal was called the god of farming, and they prayed, O Baal, make the farming go well, protect this nation, send rain in due measure. It is no different from praying in our country to the sun, the moon, the stars, and the dragon king. Ahab did this even from the throne. He built the city of Samaria, built the temple of Baal, raised an altar, and offered sacrifice, and made the wooden image of Asherah, and had all the people offer sacrifice to it. The sin of Jeroboam and the collective heresy of today. When we hear the sin of Jeroboam, we recall his changing the date, changing the priesthood, and setting up two golden calves to serve as God. And yet we may think, still, did he not go on believing in and following the Lord God? But he served God only with words. In reality, he served, followed, and chaste personal, selfish desire. This sin is great before God, the sin of changing the way of salvation God has established, the way by which he removed our sins with the gospel of the water and the Spirit, is exactly the same as the sin of Jeroboam. It is the same as Jeroboam's changing the Day of Atonement. Collective heresies began from Jeroboam. There are many collective heresies within Christianity, and what sin do they commit? They say they have received the remission of sin by the blood of the cross alone. But the Lord saved us by the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Jesus received baptism from John the Baptist, and so was passed the sins of mankind, and carrying those sins. He received the judgment of the wages of sin on the cross, shed his blood and died, and rose again on the third day, and so saved us. To change this into having been saved by the blood of the cross alone is exactly like moving the Day of Atonement from the 10th day of the 7th month to the 15th day of the 8th month. Next, there is the question of what people serve the Lord God with. People today have replaced God with material things. That is why the most popular denominations are the Pentecostal line, the full gospel. The scripture says that it desires for you to prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. This word was spoken by the Apostle John to believers, and it means that if you believe in the gospel of the water and the Spirit, and do not chase your own selfish desire, but put God at the center, believing and following Him and living for the preaching of the gospel, the rest of your affairs also go well. But they take this and claim that if you believe in and follow God, you receive on this earth the blessing of material things, the blessing of your livelihood, and the blessing of descendants, and the threefold curse turns into the threefold blessing. This is exchanging the Lord God for the golden calf, for gold. This belongs precisely to the sin of Jeroboam. The south and the north of Israel are both called Israel. In the north lived 10 tribes, and in the south only the one tribe of Judah remained. The 10 tribes were far more numerous. They were originally God's people and the descendants of Abraham, but they left God. They replaced God with gold, changed the date of the sacrifice, and set up anyone at all as priests who should have been of the sons of Levi. Because they changed things like this, they became the founders of heresy. Coming down to today's Christianity, it was not so in the days of the early church. But for the 1,000 years that followed, the Catholic Church became completely heretical. The Reformation began and was roughly completed. But now the Christianity of the whole world has become a collective heresy. This history shows that chasing personal, selfish desire becomes so fearful a sin before God. Even if we have believed in the gospel of the water and the Spirit, if we chase only personal greed and the desires of the flesh, we become heretics. It amounts to serving gold in the place of God. Therefore, we must draw a great lesson from this history. The one who made the universe and saved us by the truth of the gospel of the water and the Spirit is Jesus Christ, God the Trinity. Can He be replaced with gold? Can my greed take the place of God? Whatever we are, like, God is still God, the one who saved us, the one who truly loves us, takes responsibility for us, keeps us, and blesses us. Yet Jeroboam exchanged that God and the kings who followed him all belonged to the sin of Jeroboam, so that the 10 tribes of Israel became a body of heresy in their entirety. Among heresies, there are individual heresies and collective heresies, and the Christianity of today is a collective heresy. It is not a matter of saying, this man is so-and-so and that man is such-and-such. When we speak of heresy, we must look at its source. Is someone a heretic because he differs from our denomination? Are religions heretics to one another because they differ? Something like Buddhism is another religion, not a heresy. Heresy, written with the character for different, means what has departed from believing in God and believing in the gospel of the water and the Spirit. God saved us by the water and the Spirit, and not believing in this way, but claiming to have been saved by believing in the blood of the cross alone in one's own fashion. This is heresy, and it becomes collective heresy. Beginning from the sin of Jeroboam, and continuing to chase that sin, by the time of King Ahab, Ahab openly brought in the daughter of another nation's king and served the Baal she had served, even building a temple for it in the city of Samaria. He raised an altar and went in to serve it himself, and made his wife and his officials and his people serve it on appointed days, burning incense and raising every kind of commotion. In Jerusalem there is the temple God ordained, and there are the descendants of Aaron of the sons of Levi. That is what God has ordained, and it cannot be changed at will. Yet they built a temple in the city of Samaria, raised an altar for Baal, carved and set up a wooden image of Asherah, spread a great table, set the head of a beast upon it, burned incense, sang and danced, and raised every kind of commotion. So the wrath of God could not but come. And so Israel loses its nation for 1,000 years. Strictly speaking, nearly 2,000 years. Other nations invaded, seized all the harvest of their farming, cruelly harmed even the women with child, and killed the people wholesale. The wrath of God was so severe that it nearly wiped out their seed. Yet even in the midst of such wrath, God, intending to show mercy, sent the prophets to tell them, "You have gone wrong. So repent. Surrender to Babylon and seek your God." The prophet Jeremiah cried out like that, but the people tormented him instead. In the end, the king's two eyes were put out, and his sons were all killed. And the people lived 70 years as captives of Babylon. Try living 70 years dragged off to another country, carrying loads on your back, digging the ground, and hauling bricks. If life is short, the second generation is already dying out. And yet, having returned, they committed the same sin again. You and I, who believe in the gospel of the water and the Spirit, must gain wisdom here. We must know that chasing only personal, selfish desire is so fearful a sin. A person may have personal desires, but he must not serve that desire like a god by his own strength. If he does, he perishes, falls into the sin of Jeroboam. Not only he himself, but his children and all who follow him receive the curse. We must realize this. The curse that comes upon him who rebuilds the city of Jericho. This happened when Ahab was king. In the days of Joshua, as they occupied the land of Canaan, they tore down the city of Jericho. And Joshua said, "Whoever rebuilds this city that I have torn down shall lose his firstborn son when he lays its foundation, and lose his youngest son when he sets up its gates." That is, God would wipe out the seed of anyone who rebuilt the city of Jericho that he had torn down. In the same way, upon the person who has believed in the gospel of the water and the Spirit and yet chases only his own greed, replacing God with that greed, the curse comes from generation to generation, and destruction arrives. We must know this. This is what he is telling us. So look at the Christianity of today, fallen into collective heresy. Just as in northern Israel, whenever someone became king, the commander of the army under him would rebel, kill the king, and become king in his turn. So in the Christianity of the whole world today, driving out a pastor within the church is regarded as a trivial thing. And they say that anyone, whatever sin he has, becomes a pastor if only he goes through seminary. It is because they belong to collective heresy that it is so. The blessing that comes upon him who lives serving the gospel, seen in that light, we are truly fortunate people. Lacking though we are, we have received salvation, and though it is not that we knew and did everything ourselves, we know that preaching the gospel to the whole world is the will of God, and we serve that will. As we live for this work, lacking though we are, God keeps us and blesses us and covers all our lack. I believe that God looks kindly on us who live for the preaching of the gospel and blesses and embraces us. But we must not forget, if we turn from here and chase only personal, selfish desire and greed, we fall into the sin of Jeroboam and are destroyed. We must remember it without fail. If we do not remember this truth, we are destroyed. So I too draw the lesson. Truly lacking as you and I are, as we spread the gospel of the water and the Spirit to the whole world through books and ebooks, God is pleased, and I have seen how greatly He blesses our church and the believers. I believe He will bless us greatly in the days to come as well. In the old days, when the churches of the whole country gathered, two or three vans were enough. But these days, when we call a gathering, there are so many cars that we are busy preparing parking. We reckon how many will come this year and widen the parking lot in advance. Now we have prepared it so that even 500 cars can park with room to spare. God has blessed us that much. He has blessed us without lack in what we eat as well. You may say, do not the people of the world live like that too? But to live like this while serving the gospel is itself the blessing. How great a grace this is! So great that thanks comes out of me even when I wake in the night. If we had ended up belonging to collective heresy, we would never have met this gospel. What is more, they do not even know that they are a collective heresy. There is no one who knows it. In the Middle Ages, Martin Luther said, "The just shall live by faith," Romans chapter 1, verse 17, and realized that sin is not removed by crawling on one's knees and by ascetic practices, but that one lives by believing in the Word of God. But Luther realized only up to that point. He did not fully realize the gospel of the water and the Spirit. Calvin is the same. People say that even that much realization was great. But we now know the gospel of the water and the Spirit. God has blessed us greatly. We send this gospel to the whole world in paper books and ebooks. Through them, people receive the remission of sin. We lay the foundation of the gospel in the Scriptures, and to build on that foundation, we take up this work and serve. Lacking though we are, this is what we are doing now. Though it is hard on the flesh, what a great spiritual blessing this is. I always make work so that the workers of God do not easily grow idle. For if the righteous do not keep on with the work of laying the foundation of the gospel, they fall into the sin of Jeroboam, into personal desire, and then both they and others are ruined. Of course, it is hard for us. In the midst of it, we must pray and go forward. Then God holds us up in spirit and flesh, blesses us, and keeps us. We feel we are about to die, and yet we do not die. And if the Lord really takes us, that too is the Lord's will. What a great blessing it is to live like this. It is a blessing, but it is also true that it is hard. There are times when we are irritated, when the inside of our mouths is sore, and we have no appetite, but that we know the sin of Jeroboam and have come out of that sin. For this one thing alone we ought to give thanks. Thanksgiving for having been delivered from the sin of Jeroboam. What is certain is this: God has saved you and me by the gospel of the water and the Spirit, and has set us on this earth as His own people and His own servants, and makes us work. God accomplishes His will over the whole world through us, and makes us preach the gospel of the water and the Spirit. On the day this will is accomplished, we will live in glory together with Jesus Christ. We enjoy blessing even now, but on that day we will enjoy not merely what a king enjoys, but the glory and riches a God enjoys. Sometimes when I speak of these things, I wonder whether it will be taken as a fairy tale. But the facts are so. What can I do? I am so very thankful. I give thanks that He has saved us from the sin like Jeroboam's, that He has given us the remission of sin by the gospel of the water and the Spirit, and that He has enabled us to serve God.